Hello, and welcome to Pod Sing Say, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast. I'm Steph, and together with my co-hosts Abby, Jen, and Nicole, we'll be rewatching and discussing an episode of Avatar each week. This week, we'll be discussing Book 3, Chapter 6, The Avatar and the Fire Lord. From the FanWiki, in this episode, after Aang receives a vision from his predecessor, Roku, and I almost said Zoku. I'm sorry, hold on. Okay. After Aang receives a vision from his predecessor Roku and Zuko receives a letter from Iroh, they each learn about the relationship between Avatar Roku and Fire Lord Sozin, their childhood friendship, falling out, and Sozin's eventual betrayal of Roku to his death. Zuko discovers that Roku is his maternal great-grandfather. Iroh explains to Zuko that the legacy of the struggle between Roku and the latter's paternal great-grandfather Sozin lives on as the struggle between good and evil within Zuko himself. So, I just think it's interesting that nobody ever acknowledges that Azula also has the same, like, bloodline. He's like, you know, their fates are, like, intertwined in you, the eternal battle for, like, good and evil. And I'm like, Azula also has the same exact great-grandparents.
Yeah. Justice for Azula.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, though, like, that entire thing actually kind of pissed me off. Everything Iroh said at the end. Mm-hmm. I got so mad. I was like, what the hell are you talking about, Iroh? Like, he's all, you alone can cleanse the sins of our family and the Fire Nation. Born in you is the power to restore balance to the world. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure to deal with a toxic family.
It's like, free will exists. You're saying it's all dependent on blood, on this, like, fate, magical fate, like everyone thing is just defined by, like, predetermined by this thing? It's like, oh, what, yeah. You can't do anything because you only have Sozin's genocider bloodline running in your veins and you, like, don't have Roku's blood, so you can't do anything, Iroh? What about all the stuff you've done for the White Lotus? You're defying your own logic. Like,
yeah. Nicole's very passionate about this. But I agree.
I agree. There were actually a lot of things in this episode that pissed me off. I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
I don't know. I feel like it's, I understand free will, but, like, none of us have this epic destiny that was thrust upon us, so I don't think we can say or relate. So I understand that also Azula has the same bloodline, but, like, the destiny was in the next heir, I'm guessing, the people who are carrying on this dynasty, so I can't personally speak to, like, being a royal and, like, having this,
you're not,
like,
part of a royal family?
Crazy legacy. Wow.
I was just like, I didn't like how he worded
it. I'm disappointed,
it. Like,
Abby.
No one else could possibly do it before you. The only reason you can do it is because you have Roku's blood. Like, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, it positioned, like, morality as, like, a genetic trait. And that he's got a little of both. And I kind of was, like, skeptical. But then it's like, I know, like, generational trauma is, like, a thing. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, is generational do-gooding also a thing? That sounds like a joke. I kind of half mean it as a joke. But I'm also half just like, the fuck do I know? Like, you know? I'm not a royal.
It's like, Iroh was being, like, it was almost like he was like, well, being good or evil is in your blood. And then they immediately tried to follow that up with, like, you know, the same with the gang where Aang was like, no, wait. But I was like, but Iroh wasn't the one who clarified that for the audience. He was just talking to Zuko like, well, this is it.
I mean, I guess, like, because I thought that too. I was like, what Aang says kind of directly contradicts where Aang's like, everybody has the choice to either be good or bad.
Let me be clear. Yeah. What Aang said also pissed me off. We can get into that.
Nicole is pissed this episode.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, let's clarify. I feel like we all kind of, I don't know about Abby, but I was like, I feel like we all kind of loved this episode. And, like, yeah, so I feel like we're immediately, like, complaining about this, but it's like, this is just, like, the thing. Yeah, I don't know. I also agree, though, that, like, the ending, like, the like, quote, clarifying message was, like, kind of muddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly was kind of like, I don't get exactly what they're trying to say. Like, it's very interesting to see the story and the lead up to the war.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, oh my gosh, to learn about Zuko's heritage on both sides of the family. I'm like, also, you're missing, like, another great-grandfather, aren't they? Don't you have, like, four of those?
Yeah. You do.
Yeah. So I'm like, what about the other two? Is there some other sort of secret, like, destiny going on?
Zuko's fourth great-grandfather was a cabbage merchant. Zuko's destiny is actually to retire.
I hate it.
And farm cabbages.
Yeah, but it's like, at the end, I liked where Aang was going when he was saying how Avatar Roku was from the same place, but he obviously made a better choice for the world, and that, like, that good and evil can come from the same place. Like, to discredit what Toph said, where she's like, it feels like some people are just born bad. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, Aang is just like, that's not true. Like, here is proof. But then I feel like it was kind of like, that's a valid thing to say, but then it just kind of felt like, I don't know.
See, the problem with what Aang said was that, like, I could roll with the beginning of it where he was saying people aren't born bad and that anyone is capable of great good and great evil. But then he continued to say everyone has to be treated like they're worth giving a chance. And, like, just, how do I put this? Like, I'm down with the first part, but when you say that you have to treat people like they're worth giving a chance, that just means, like, don't judge a person by who they're born as or where they come from. But you can't just take it the way that Aang seems to be and apply it broadly when he's all like, oh, you know, even the Fire Nation, even the Fire Lord. And I was like, Ozai, for example.
You have to look at the actions.
I was like, Ozai has already had his chance. He had, however old he is, worth of years of chances to be good. And he has chosen to be the worst.
Like, he has a proven track record.
Aang can't go into him now and be like, well, I have to treat the Fire Lord like I can give him a chance. I'm like, he had them. He had his chances.
I also feel like it kind of, like, Roku talks about how his big mistake was sparing Sozin, right? So then I feel like Aang took from that, like, kind of the wrong thing where he's like, everybody deserves a chance. I'm like, Roku literally was like, I should have killed that bitch when I had the chance.
He's just like, Aang, no. Because then this is like, Aang takes this through literally to the end of the series. This is like, this is Aang's conflict.
I mean, I feel like Aang's conflict it's like not exactly the same thing. Like, I feel like this ends up getting applied more to Zuko, where like his deal with Ozai is he just doesn't want to kill someone.
That's what I'm saying, though. But Aang's just like, he deserves to be given a chance, and it's just like he doesn't. He had his chances.
I think there's a difference between saying, like, someone doesn't deserve to die and saying, like, someone deserves a chance. Because he never, like, gave Ozai a chance to be good. Mm. He just was like, I don't want to kill this guy, and I have to figure out a way to, like, end the war without, you know, compromising my core beliefs.
Yeah.
I guess. Where, like, I do feel like the message of this episode gets, like, put more towards Zuko.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, like, even the royal family.
It's like a redemption. Yeah. You have a chance. Yeah. This was a very confusing episode. Yeah. I agree. It was like, where are you going with this, old man? Like, it's just basically just like your old uncle being like, okay, thanks. I don't really understand.
Yeah. It's just like, here's all of the mistakes that all of the old people in your life made. Now it's your problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, yeah,
that's now true. That's exactly what they said.
Dumping.
He was like, you have to understand what I did, and then you'll be able to have, you know, balance and peace. Both of them said that.
Yeah, and Roku, that was the thing. We made fun of Roku a few episodes ago because that's the same thing he did to Aang. And, like, now this is that. Yeah, like, he was like, we'll talk about this later. I just, like, let's put a pin in this. I'll be back. That was, like, literally the first. That was the first episode of season three. Roku, like, shows up, saves him in the ocean. And it's just like, this is my fault. I'll, like, send you instructions in, like, 3 weeks. Bye.
Look out for an email.
Like yeah.
No, we need to talk.
Obviously,
period.
Iroh gave that whole speech to Zuko. He was like, well, now there's an opportunity for you to do something because you have Roku's blood and not any of us who came before you could do anything for some reason. And then, Roku, I wrote down the thing Roku said to Aang in this episode too. Make sense of our past and you will bring peace and restore balance in the world. And I was like, question mark, question mark, question mark? Like, I had to stop and think about that. Like, the closest I could get to trying to make sense of it was that I guess it's supposed to be a version of, like, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. But
yeah, that was the vibe I feel like I always got as, like, a kid even.
Mm-hmm. But I was just like, what? Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, that makes sense, though, because it's like this show does obviously, like, deal with cycles in, like, different ways and on different levels. And it's like Zuko, you know, I feel like Zuko was somebody who was very much like, I'm not like the other girls kind of attitude, where he was just like, you know, I'm forging my own path. Like, I'm not doing things like other people. And then, like, they pull the curtain back a little and he's just like, I am just trapped in this literally like this family cycle of, like, trauma and betrayal. And, like, bullshit, and, like, yeah, I have to be not like the other people, and I do have to break the cycle, but, like, he was very happy, like, his goal was to just be part of it, and then the whole conflict with him was he had gotten, like, forcibly removed from it, and, like, the entire show up to this point was him, like, trying to put himself, like, back. Like, he's like Neo. He, like, got out of the Matrix, but then he was like, actually, wait, can I get plugged back in? Like, he's that guy. He's like, I just want it to go back. And then he did, and then it is all shit. I don't know. It's like, it's got layers, don't get.
Yeah. I mean, Zuko, you know, as long as I'm ranting about literally everybody, like... No, because just like at the end, right, Zuko, he's reading the scroll. It ends with Sozin being like, yeah, and then I killed Roku and like, and I genocided all the air nomads just to kill one baby, but I didn't get him. And I didn't learn anything from that genocide. All I'm doing is continuing to try to kill this one child. And even now as I lay dying, I'm still only referring to him as the greatest threat to the Fire Nation. And then Zuko was like, wait, that can't be it. Where's the rest?
That
and
gif, for like, that gif is everywhere online of Zuko at the end of the scroll. Sorry.
Yeah. And I was like, for like half a second, I thought that Zuko was like, where's the rest? As in like, does it really end like that with Sozin being this way? As opposed to anything else in my great-grandfather's story that he didn't, this isn't like regretful or anything in his last moments. But then as he went in to steal at Iroh about it, and he was like, well, this is just the stuff that most people already know. Like, you said that there was stuff about how he died, so what the hell? And I was like, Zuko, are you kidding? Like, you don't... It's like he doesn't even... I was like, you just, like, don't even care until you find out how this is relevant to you? Like, he, like, doesn't care at all about what Sozin did to Roku until he finds out Roku's his great-grandfather? I was like, Zuko, what the hell?
It's also just, like, he had no reaction to hearing this, like, sad man talk about wasting away his life chasing the Avatar, and it's, like, that didn't, like, yeah, that didn't hit any, like, narcissistic bells in his head of just, like, huh, maybe this wasn't the way to go after all.
I think I got, maybe I'm being, like, too kind, but I, when he said, like, this is just the stuff everybody already knows already, like, I just assumed that he read, like, most of everything that he read he already knew. Like, maybe he already knew about how Roku had died.
I'm sure it was all spun very differently, though.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how did he never learn his full family tree? I feel like that seems like a very royal family thing to do. And that, like, they purposely kept it a secret from him and Azula.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that makes sense to me that they would keep
No, it totally does. But I'm saying, like, that they never... I guess, like, they must have been fed, like, a different name. It's just, like, I can't imagine this never having come up.
I think it's partly because, like, that's through Ursa, and she married into the royal family. So it's kind of like, I imagine they look at all the ancestors in the royal family, but, like, they don't look at the ancestors of people who marry in. Like, Ursa would be in there as, like, mother of Fire Lord Zuko or whatever.
That's true.
And Fire Princess Azula, but, like, Ursa's parents wouldn't be in there. Like, no one cares about
irrelevant.
That.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, rude.
I'm, like, thinking now, I'm like, how? Well, first of all, we saw, like, the death of Avatar Roku, I guess, from his perspective, like, him telling Aang. So I'm, like, I'm curious how Sozin wrote about it, even in his memoir, about, like, what happened that night.
I'm sure it was just, like, he succumbed to the smoke. I was lucky to, or, like, you know, I, like, mustered the strength to get myself out, pull myself out by my bootstraps, like, that whole shit.
It was like a Scar and Mufasa situation when I was watching.
I don't know. I felt like it was like more like the things he said to Roku where like he wouldn't have necessarily said, and so I killed him. But like, whereas like, I feel like he could have blatantly in his memo being like, I knew that this was like my opportunity to build my path forward, my vision for the future of sharing our wealth and prosperity with the nation. Like,
yeah, it's true. I was wondering about like the optics because it's just like he had a publicly known friendship with the Avatar and then like people definitely knew that they had a falling out and a fight in Ba Sing Se. And then like, obviously his next plan was to like genocide the Avatar. So it's kind of just like the, how like publicly pro or against the Avatar he was that late in his life was probably like anyone. I don't know.
I mean,
it seems like he probably would have been pretty like against the Avatar. I don't know. I guess so, because he like he turned the whole country against him.
I figured the spin was just like, you know, Sozin is great, he has this great vision, he wants to share everything, and the Avatar stood in his way for some reason, but Sozin wouldn't take no for the answer because he knew what was right.
Yeah, but like that, the difference between saying that and then being like publicly opposed to like your ex-best friend versus like murdering an entire country is like a big leap for like the people to be on board with. So that's why I'm like, oh, he must have started sowing like anti-Avatar sentiment like earlier.
I mean, I don't know also if they all necessarily know that the genociding the air nomads was about killing the Avatar. Like, it could have, that they might just
feel like everybody
be like,
knows the cycle though.
Yeah, but That's true, though. I figured they were just like, that was just the war. That was when they're like, okay, time for the war.
Yeah, like, they like spun it in their history that like the air nomads had an army and they were going to attack. So it's kind of like, I guess we'll never know like how they spun it literally at the time.
Yeah.
Like what they said. Like, I'm sure there were people who probably realized, you know, that that was the point of it, especially like the other nations. Probably could look at that and very easily say they were trying to get rid of the Avatar while the Avatar was still a child. But in the Fire Nation itself, they spun this whole idea that there was like a war brewing and that they were the ones in danger, even though he was already colonizing, you know. I don't know.
That was like so gross too, like the words he used where he was just like, we have all this like peace and safety and prosperity. And I was just like, you could just keep the course and just not do anything. And then he's just like, we should share that. And I'm just like, you're such a hoe.
It's like imperialism 101. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. It's like, why like, you gotta be a colonizing hoe is what I wrote in my notes.
I mean, is that not like literally what every colonizing nation has like thought?
Oh my God.
Like,
it's
we
crazy.
Have to spread our knowledge and culture with the uncultured,
the barbarians. Yeah.
Yeah. We have to steal their spices and then never learn how to use them.
British.
Oh God.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what was like really pettily upsetting about this is that young Roku, Sozin, and Gyatso were not good looking. They were just like average looking guys. And I was just very disappointed by that. I was like, really? This is what they look like? Fucking come on. Like Azula and like the dangerous ladies, they're all really gorgeous. They're adjacent to royalty. Yeah. I feel like Lu Ten was also like in the, you know, the
That's illustrations because we women have. Need to look gorgeous to do like half as good as a man gets.
Mm. Well, that's true too. I just feel like there could have been room for someone to be like handsome and like none of them were.
Yeah, Roku's wife was, like, way out of his league.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I was like, what the hell? She can do so much better. But I'm sure he's a great guy, but, like, come on.
Oh, my God. Wait. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me just interject here another thing that pissed me off about Tommen. Okay. When she, like, got with Roku and Aang was all like, well, Roku, it's that girl who didn't even know you were alive. Which was funny. And then he was like, yeah, I was persistent. And I was like, again! I was like...
That was so weird. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I was like, that means something different now.
He said love is persistent, right? Like, is that?
Yeah.
He said, like, when love is true was something. Oh, and I was like, that also is gross. I also that's don't weird. Like that either. Because, like, that's, like, what keeps, like, couples that have that, like, fighting and separating and getting together. Like, that's the thing that people say to justify it. And I'm like, nah, that's toxic.
I also feel like there was no indication that she was uninterested. Like, she blushed when he looked at her. Like, I was kind of like, when Aang was like, she didn't even know you existed, I was like, were we watching the same, like, flashback?
I know. But I'm like, I guess it's okay in this specific instance because they did show that she kind of liked him. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't necessarily think that Roku and Tommen specifically were, like, a bad couple, but the language used there, like, the verbiage of I was persistent, it just perpetuates this idea that you can just wear a woman down into doing what you want. And I feel like I've heard this so often in so many shows and movies and books, and it makes me so angry.
No, for sure. It's definitely, like, a sign of the times of where this show, like, where this episode aired versus, like, now, where it's, like, that thing... I feel like in Hollywood and, like, just media, it's been perpetuated as romantic, like, for so long. Mm-hmm. And now we're finally at a point where people are like, nope, that's gross. Guys need to fucking learn how to listen.
Yeah,
and it's
they're
also
always like, never give up.
Yeah. And, like, there's definitely double standards if the person pursuing is a man and if they're conventionally attractive or if they're a woman and they're attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, that's the difference between, like, oh, this person is a creep or this person is crazy versus, like, this is acceptable and romantic and, like, mm-hmm. or, like, just being a man kind of shit. And it's just, like, it's gross and we don't need that.
And people learn from it and it's a real problem. Yeah. You know, yes, all women. Because every single time, listeners, every single time that a man has asked me out, he has always continued pushing after my initial rejection.
Yeah.
Every single time.
And we've had to awkwardly, like, be in the room for a couple of those.
Yes. Honestly, yes.
Like, what if he's listening to this? Like, you just never know.
It's not even a specific key. Every single time. every single man. It's a generational problem. And anyone who's listening, listen to me. Any of you who specifically asked me out and know me in real life and are listening to this, take this as a lesson. Do better.
Oh, God. I can think of two off the top of my head. Are there
probably
more?
Listen to our podcast.
No, that I asked you out and were like grossly persistent.
Yeah.
I just remember the second one. Oh my God.
But it includes even just like the guy at the bus stop, the guy in the 7-Eleven, the guy who came in as a customer and tried to ask me out at my job, but it wasn't even asking me out, okay? He was really creepy and he insinuated a lot of weird sexual stuff about that was non-consensual and I didn't like it.
Yeah. Oh man, when I used to work at Barnes & Noble, I used to get hit on and like you were trapped and like you had to be pleasant. That's why it's also like don't fucking flirt with your waiter or waitress because they have to be nice to you or else like you're going to be an asshole and not tip them.
Right? Don't hit on people at their jobs.
Also, don't follow a girl across the street. Don't follow them down a block. Just don't do it.
Don't follow people.
It's like a fucked up Dr. Seuss book.
don't hit on people while they literally can't leave because they're waiting for the bus or they're waiting for the light to change.
But yeah, hopefully Aang does not have that as his takeaway for love. I'm curious how he's going to act with Katara moving forward.
It'll be interesting to see.
I will say that that reminded me of like the joke I made somewhere back in our first few episodes or something about Roku getting stuck, like giving Aang love advice as he grows up.
Oh.
Oh my God, you're right. I remember that.
Trying to flirt with Katara while simultaneously like insulting her, like
this episode, so I was saying to them all before, like I was crying at the end that when I watched it because it still hit me.
Yeah, I definitely do like this episode. I feel like, especially like, I don't know how I felt about it back in the day, like in terms of the message. I always liked the episode, but now I'm just kind of like, I don't get what they're trying to say.
Like, I feel like as a kid, and like whenever I rewatched this previously, I didn't really think too deeply about it, and also about like them two, like separately. Because I feel like I just blindly understood it versus like actually really thinking about like the words that were said and the implications.
Yeah.
And also I think in general, like I know for me, for sure, I definitely understand like mental health a lot better. Not saying I understand it well by any means, but much, much better than like I did in like college even.
Yeah.
I feel like the only thing I absolutely fucking hated about this episode was that they, like, cut back from all of, like, the serious, heavy, like, exposition-heavy stuff to have, like, a poop joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, like... And I just was, like, trust your audience a little more. Like, you don't need it. It's just weird. And
it was, like, jarring.
Yeah, it was just uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, I was just, like, so, like, his friends are just watching him, like, take a shit in his pants. Like, was this ever... Like, that kind of stuff was, like, never funny to me as a kid. And now it just felt, like disrespectful. Respectful almost, like, I don't know,
it was very out of place.
Yeah,
I guess they wanted to bring the gang into the episode somehow,
but it's like they literally could have just had them like sitting there like looking at Aang and being like, is it okay to like leave him here? And then like Sokka makes a joke that's not like a fart joke, like,
yeah,
there were so many other ways to play.
No,
and
yeah, like, I agree.
This show has always done well at kind of like cutting away from like the, again, like the heavy or like talking heavy kind of stuff. And, like, this was such, like, a cop-out, it felt like.
Yeah. It felt, like, inappropriately placed, and also the content of the lightness wasn't appropriate. Yeah. Like, I feel like it wasn't particularly heavy at that point, from what I remember. It was just, like, why was that a scene?
Yeah.
Like, did they pay the actors for this episode and they needed something to say? Like, I don't know.
True. Like, Sokka had, like, two lines.
Yeah.
But, like, they had that really nice scene at the end where they were all holding hands.
And, yeah, like, that was cute.
Oh, that, like, got me. Because then Toph was just, like, I don't know, like, the whole, like, some friendships are so strong, they transcend lifetimes kind of stuff. And I was just, like, then I was thinking about Korra, and then I got all emotional again.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah.
No.
Damn.
That was great. When Toph was, like, the one who was, like, vulnerable about it. And then, like, Aang took her hand.
Yeah.
And I was,
really
like,
sweet.
I can't. I love this. Soulmate friends.
And they, like, didn't make a joke or anything goofy about Aang holding Katara's hand. They just played it straight, which was really nice.
Yeah, that was one thing I liked with the friendship. It was kind of like friendship that goes bad just because you just don't align on values anymore.
Yeah, I was literally about to say, like, friend breakups do not get enough attention.
Yeah.
And, like, they are important to,
I literally was also about to say, speaking of friendships, it was really interesting to see, like, the lifespan of Sozin and Roku's friendship, where, like, they're, when they were younger, before Sozin, like, went off the rails, like, their friendship was really cute. And then they just, you know, fell apart. And I agree, that's not something you see very often.
Because, like, no, you're not friends with everyone forever. Yeah. Like, naturally, you just grow apart. Whether they're taking over the world and genociding people, or just, like, picking a different path.
Oh, my God. That's so true. That it's, like, so unrelatable, but so relatable. Where it's just, like, I didn't lose any friendships over, like, criminal activity. But, like, it happens. And it's, like, sometimes there is, like, a proper fight and, like, a proper, like, breakup. And there's, like, a clear end. But then, like, I feel like more often than not, they just naturally, like, fade out.
Yeah.
And, like, that's just life. And I feel like, again, it's, like, not something people talk about and stuff. So that it's just, like, when it happens, you're just, like, am I just a shitty person? Like, did I do something wrong? And it's just, like, no, that's just
life. Sometimes it just happens.
Yeah.
Like, you just drift apart, lose touch, and that's it.
For me, with, like you guys as well as, like, our other college friends, like, I feel like something that's kind of helped us all stay, like, friends with each other, even when there's, like, huge chunks of not seeing each other or, like, talking to each other. It's, like, I know, like, you know, like, when Stephanie, when you were, like in Japan for, like, 5 years, like, I, you know, we did not talk nearly as much as we did when you were here, because that's, like, sometimes that's just a part of it, too. Sometimes it's literally just, like, physical distance. But I feel like with everybody that, like, I'm still friends with, it's, like, there's, like, that mutual understanding that it's not personal. And I feel like, not for nothing, I feel like the pandemic has, like, made that very clear for people who maybe in the past, like, wouldn't have understood that.
Right.
Where it's just, like, you can go for lengths of time without talking to somebody. And then, like, sometimes, like, you just pick up where it left off. And then sometimes, like, that is something that maybe it just means that, like, you are just moving on from, like, you know, where your friendship had been previously. And it's just, like, that's just life. Like, I don't know.
It is. And then sometimes your friends decide that they just want to colonize the whole earth, and you just got to break it off.
Oh my gosh, that's so creepy. Yeah.
You got to know where to draw the line.
I thought you just said, I don't know where to draw the line. I was like, Abby, I think it's very clear.
I thought it was funny that when Roku was, like, telling Aang the story, he was like, after our battle. And I'm like, that was very, like, generous of Roku to say, because Sozin didn't do shit. It was like he blew fire at him, like, once, and then Roku just, like, handed his ass to him.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not really a battle.
The fire was, like, a huge escalation, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's like, because they were, like, you know, arguing and, like, maybe, like, making demands about what you're not allowed to do anymore. And then it escalated into, like, attempted murder or something. That amount of fire at his back, like, if he hadn't, you know, dodged or whatever, like,
My, like, initial reaction to that, too, was just, like, how did you not realize that he was being a hoe and, like, conquering Ba Sing Se? But then it's also obviously, like, you know, news does not travel as fast, like, around the world, and who knows what kind of weird spirit world other, like, country adventures Roku was getting up to. But it was, like, that had been, like, a 12-year gap, right? Like,
it was the
12-year gap was when they got married, he got married, and then they had been, oh, and then there was a 25-year gap after they fought in the Earth Kingdom.
Was that, hold on, wait, it was 12 years that Roku was training. So,
Which, by the way, Roku took 12 years to learn the three other elements, and Aang has to do it in less than 9 months.
Yeah.
A true king we have on our hands.
But I don't think that was Ba Sing Se. I think it was just, like, a random Earth Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, I keep saying Ba Sing Se, but yeah, there was no, like,
I mean, there was, like, a wall, so I get it.
There was a wall in Omashu, too.
Yeah, I was like, Omashu had a wall, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely recognize that. But yeah, I was just like, how did you not realize, like,
what was happening? I mean, I guess it's a big world, and they don't have like super reliable forms of communication.
Yeah. Like they don't have newspapers, you know?
Yeah, they also don't. Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. I like recognized all of that, but I was still just like, you're that Avatar. What are you doing? Like,
shouldn't you know?
He apparently goes on some sort of rotation to visit because he was just going there and then he saw it.
Yeah.
Maybe he, like, makes patrols around the entire world. I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like he could have because it sounds like nothing was really happening in his, like, lifetime up until, like, that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that other Avatar Kurik, the waterbender, who was, like, he was a surfer. And he's, like, every time they talk to him, he's just like, nothing really was going on. I just was chilling and surfing and, like, my timeline was, like, peaceful. And it's just like, that sounds nice.
Sometimes it's like that. Yeah, like Roku's reign was entirely peaceful.
Yeah.
Until the end.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing that bothered me in this episode and always has bothered me is...
Was it where did he get the tea?
What? Oh, no. I don't
know. That bothered me.
I never even gave that more than like 1 second of thought where I was like, oh, tea. Nice. No. Why... Did he not just cut his losses at the volcano? Like, why did he keep fighting?
Hugo was, like, mad too.
The volcano, like, I get it. Like, maybe you're trying to save everybody's homes. But, like, at a certain point, you have to realize, like, this isn't happening. Like, when Fang showed up the first time, he's like, Fang, I'm fine. I'm like, you're clearly not fine. And I'm like, and it seems like everybody's already evacuated. So, like, it just, like, is senseless to me. Like, why were you still there?
Yeah, I feel like I had the same train of thought where I was just like, okay, I get it. You want to save your home and like everybody's homes. But like, yeah, it's just like, it's not even like they established that it was very far away from the mainland. So nobody else was in danger.
Yeah, like I could understand sending all the lava down the far side of the island instead of the side that all the boats were on.
Mm-hmm.
But like when the second volcano went off and he just like had this absolutely resigned like slump, which did pierce me in the heart. I was like, that one was farther away from the boats though. You could have just let it go. It would have been okay. Like,
yeah, it was, I did bump on that too.
Yeah.
Especially,
I just feel like,
I was gonna say, like, we saw Aang like stop a volcano, like not totally stop it, but it's like, we have already seen Aang beat up a volcano, like in like season one or two.
Yeah. I mean, they implied that this volcano eruption was like much stronger than other standard volcano eruptions, which, by the way, friggin' Fire Nation, they keep building cities on active volcanoes. Can you just not?
But also he was the Avatar, and like a fully trained Avatar who could access the Avatar state and then didn't until like the very last minute, and then even then like not really. But Abby, what were you gonna say?
I just feel that it is just the result of desperation. Mm. I feel like desperation just fucks you up from any sort of logic that you might have. And if he's at the point where his best friend is just going crazy, like literally going insane from imperialism and like supremacy, maybe to him, this volcano was just the symbol of like, maybe this is my chance to, you know, do right by them. Because just, like, the extremes of any emotion, you just get so messed up.
That's fair.
And no one can talk you out of it. So it's kind of like, that's my guess. Yeah. I didn't really think about it that way because it's kind of like a...
Yeah, it felt like a control thing of just, like, if I can't, like, surely I could stop this volcano. That's true. And then it's just like, if I could stop this volcano, maybe I could stop my evil friend.
Yeah. Because that's all the guilt from all this time. He's like, oh, I could have... If that was really in his head, like, I could have stopped this type of thing, or it's like if Sozin can see how much I can like help him. I don't know. We don't know for sure. I feel like this was like the symbol of the accumulation of all of that time lost where
and
he
could
have done
something. Dramatic moment when like the crown dropped on the ground.
Exactly.
Then Iroh randomly had it. Like, man's got connection.
He pulled it from the brick wrapped around. I was like,
oh, I know. I did. I was like, I'm just going to assume from my own peace of mind that Serena Williams gave this to you. Like, I don't know.
My assumption was whoever he had on his, like, payroll to go drop the scroll to Zuko and give him the, like, secret message probably smuggled him the crown somehow. Where it was all this time, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm just, like, heartless. I'm like, you guys are all like, oh, Roku probably felt all this, like, regret about Sozin. And I was like, oh, I thought it had been 25 years and he hadn't been thinking about Sozin. Like, he's like, like, we used to be friends a long time ago, but I haven't thought of you lately at all. Like,
as he's getting older, though, I'm sure that's, like, one of his bigger regrets. And, like, obviously, Roku didn't know. Like, you know, it wasn't until after Roku died that, like, the peak horror of what he was capable of was, like, achieved. So even then, it wasn't even, like, as bad as what we knew it was gonna get. But, you know. But again, for someone who had a relatively peaceful, like, tenure as the Avatar, like, that was, like, the big fuck-up.
Yeah.
Was, like, letting one of the countries get, like, colonized and, like, taken over. Or, like, a part of it.
Yeah. At an extremely, extremely smaller scale. Yeah, I guess. Like, it's kind of like you're living your best life right now, and then you hear about, like, an old friend that's like, whoa, I did not see that coming. Like, maybe if I had talked to them or, like, stayed in touch with them, like, we could have worked it out. But that's also, like, selfish on your part to think that you could change somebody. So it's like,
that's true.
There's that element too. If Sozin was going to do what he was going to do, it doesn't matter if Roku was there throughout the whole time, if he was dead.
Yeah, I think, like, Roku probably doesn't think, like, oh, if I had stayed in his life, he wouldn't have done this, because he, like, told Sozin straight up, like, if you do this, I will end you. Mm. Like, I'm not about this. You better fucking not. And
and then to Roku's point of view, it kind of seemed like Sozin just stopped, right?
Yeah, like, probably. Because then he, like, waited.
He was like, oh, shit, that's right. You're the Avatar with the earthbending. Because I almost felt like he was, like, when he went to help out, he might have just been, like, acting almost on, oh, like, yeah, this is my old friend. Like, we used to be friends. And, like, this volcano, I can help with this. And it was, like, the moment that he earthbended was, like, a reminder. He was like, that's right. The only thing standing in my way is the Avatar.
Yeah, I feel like when he saw Roku, like, collapsing, that was probably, like, the light bulb moment where he was like, aha, I don't even have to do anything, and you're going to die, and then I'm free to do whatever the fuck I want.
Right. Yeah, I felt like when he earthbended, I felt like that was the moment that Sozin remembered that Roku was the only thing standing in his way. And then maybe, yeah, when he collapsed, that could have been when he was like, and here's how I do it. Like, I don't have to kill him. All I have to do is do anything.
Yeah. And then Fang, like, went and, like...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Literally, so like, hashtag does so the dog sad. Die. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother watched, like, the tail end of the episode with me, and he's like, why didn't Fang just pick him up and go? Like, and then he's like, this is, like, the whole Lord of the Rings and the Eagles thing, where, like, my dad, like, hates the Lord of the Rings trilogy because he gets so mad at the end with the Eagles, where he's like, why didn't the Eagles just drop the fucking ring in the volcano? So he's like, why didn't the dragon pick Roku up and go?
I mean, I assume that Roku was a goner by that point anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. Because of the poison. But poisonous gases.
And the Eagles is a whole other thing I'm not going to get into.
No. I know. Don't worry. I know. We've gotten into it. But... it's just, like, a joke in our family.
No, I
in
know.
Our house.
I remember that always being a thing people said, and I was always that asshole. Like, well, if you read the books, then you'd understand.
Yeah, I know. That was me in our house. I'm like, he can't, though, because blah, blah, blah. And my dad's like, I literally don't care.
Yeah. It's just, like, doesn't matter. The film is its own
but the film
thing,
failed to
valid.
Portray that properly, and therefore.
Yes. No, it's not. That doesn't, like, make it immune to that criticism.
Yeah.
This is, like, a dumb note, but I got very excited when Roku said the phrase, when he said bitter work. I, like, forgot it, like, came up again, but I was just like, he said bitter work specifically. And that made me happy.
Learning the other elements. Bitter work. Yo, speaking of that, this is a weird transition, actually. Bitter work, the episode where Zuko was first learning about lightning redirection, when Sozin was like doing that thing with the volcano,
drying out the volcano or something.
Yeah, well, I like rewound and watched it like 5 times in a row to be like, what the hell is he doing? And eventually I decided that I'm pretty sure that the idea is that he was maybe drawing away the heat, that was so that those little lines of like steam were supposed to represent the heat of the volcano.
That's what Miko thought. I was wondering if it was like, if he was like taking like the oxygen out and like trying to like snuff out the fire.
But like, he's a firebender, he ain't an airbender.
Yeah.
But he did it. It looked very much like the lightning. It was a different hand gesture, and he didn't do the stomach thing, but like it was going like in one hand and then out the other. Yeah. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I also, like, clocked that, too. I was like, ooh, that's cool.
And, you know, it did, obviously, the lava then kind of cooled down behind him, so I assume it was heat, which I can buy heat as a connection to firebending and not, like, smoke, which would have been air.
Yeah.
I mean, he did seem like, when he was making fun of Roku, when he was like, you're the Avatar, like, you get to learn all the things, he was, like, doing actual moves.
Yeah.
It's true.
From, like, other people, so I'm just like, maybe he, like, picked up some stuff.
Yeah. I mean, back then, obviously, there was no war, so presumably they all saw vendors from other nations all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they
especially
just
as, like, the royal family.
Osmosis, yeah. You know.
And then even at Roku's wedding, there were people from, like, all the nations there.
Oh, yeah.
If you looked in the background. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, the before times.
100 years ago, Aang had friends all over the world, including the Fire Nation.
The only other note that I have is when Azula told Zuko to make sure they get his good side.
Oh my god.
Yeah! I wrote that down too. I was like, Azula, that's so rude.
That was the fucking funniest part of this episode.
Oh my god.
Oh, the only other notes that I wrote down that, like, we hadn't talked about. Well, I had written that down because I thought that was hilarious.
It was hilarious!
And then I also was like, why is the Fire Nation so fucking dramatic with all their, like, hidden passageways and, like, doors?
Oh, yeah.
But also, I was like, wow, they're just messing up Sokka's schedule again. Because Roku was like, listen.
You know what? There's the joke. There is the joke for that scene that we all hated.
Yeah.
Like, comment about how we need to go.
Yeah, that was the, like, Sokka being like, how long do you think this is going to take? And Katara's just like, shush, like, this is important. And he's like, but we have a schedule.
Yeah, like, this is already taking us off of our schedule.
Yes.
Yeah, that was literally.
Does the schedule come up again?
No.
Kind of, I think. Does it? It comes up kind of in, like, the Nightmares and Daydreams episode.
What, when probably. He says we're ahead of schedule?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they, like, arrive at the battlefield 4 days ahead of schedule, and then that, like, Aang, like, spirals because he has, like, too much time to, like, think of, like, to panic and, like, think about, like, scenarios.
Damn, that's relatable.
I'm like, they lean so hard on that schedule joke in The Painted Lady, and I'm like, they either should have not done that or kept it consistent, because
Sokka just
forgets to care about the schedule immediately after that episode, and
yeah.
And we're not having it.
That was literally the first thing I wrote
down.
If
you say you have a schedule, you fucking stick to it.
Yeah. Oh my god.
This is where Sokka buys a planner. He thinks he's going to abide to the planner. And then the planner drops and then you just like, we don't have fuck a schedule. We don't know anymore.
Oh, I love that. Sokka's that guy who like, he makes it very detailed and color coordinates everything on the first day.
Yes.
And then
it's like the first week goes strong and then like there's just like 3 months of blank. Yes. That was like me in 2020, man, let me tell you. That's like I bought my fancy planner and then 2020 happened and it's just like you can just like see like right where everything went to shit.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was just like nothing matters anymore.
Nope.
I did have some notes about Zuko just in the beginning of the episode, that visually and maybe a little bit musically were kind of like callbacks to season one to me, where in the beginning when he just like he hears the very faintest of noises, he snaps awake, he hurries into the hallway to investigate, like that was very reminiscent of, you know, that time that Zhao hired pirates to kill him. And then also when he was staring up at the ceiling after getting the scroll but before he figured out what it actually said, and then he kind of like turned on his side, like that was practically shot for shot the scene from The Blue Spirit when he turns away from the Fire Nation tapestry on his wall after he has sort of betrayed the Fire Nation by rescuing Aang. And in this time, instead of turning away from a Fire Nation tapestry, he turns sort of towards this new scroll that he's just gotten that tells him, like, the truth, the secrets that are being kept from you. So I was like, oh, Zuko, look at this.
Did any of them, you said they were, like, were any of them, like, almost, like, shot for shot, like, the same, or?
I mean, I personally thought that it was, although I didn't go back and look at the other ones, so it could have been different. But to me, it looked the same.
Yeah. No, like, the, like, annoying part of my brain was like, oh, I wonder if they, like, recycled any of the old animation, like, as a time saver. But, like, that, it doesn't matter. I feel like there's like a weird discourse on the internet where people are like, that's lazy or that's like whatever. And it's just like,
I mean, they changed like enough scheduled. Of they changed a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He has hair now.
Yo, you're right. Oh my god. Well, yeah, even then, that's also like when Zuko people looks... say recycled animation, it's also, it's not like they just use the exact same cut, but it's like they'll trace it and adjust it.
It mm-hmm. looked like it was shot for shot to me based only yeah. on my memory and not from actual comparing.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Zuko looks so much older now, by the way. I've been noticing that.
Mm. He's coming into his own.
Yeah.
It's the hair.
It's the hair.
Like, it's like yeah. funny because I feel like right now his hair is like awkwardly long. Like, I just feel like when he's in the Fire Nation, it's like not a good look. Like, I don't know. That's my opinion. But then when he like, you know, after the Day of Black Sun, it like kind of looks shorter in like a, I don't know.
I mean, his outfit when he like later in this season, I feel like is also just like the best outfit he has the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they probably like adjusted his hair to like look good with the outfit too. And it just like is a better look all around. Also, like, yeah. you know, obviously he's gonna look less like a villain. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. if you want to get really, you know, like hypothetical deep into it, like right now he could be very concentrating on like growing his hair out, not having a single haircut, not even just to like clean it up or trim the edges or anything, because mm-hmm. you know,
he's, like,
as Fire Nation royalty, like he's got to grow his hair so he can put it in the top knot.
Yeah,
and he's like trying to grow it, and then maybe then he joins the gang, he lets yeah. them, like, you know, he trims up, he cleans up the edges. Like, yeah.
can I just say something that has always bothered me? And, like, bothers me in, like, all types of shows. It's, like, Zuko's hair right now is very short, you know? His hair is, like, much shorter than, like, my hair.
Yeah.
I would not be able to put my hair in a top knot like he does.
Oh, yeah.
His hair yeah. is, like, way too short for that. So I'm, like, what, does he have, like, a little, like, fake, like, extension that they put in when he has to have the... Because I'm, like, when I... My hair is, like, not super short. It's, like, shoulder length. But yeah. if I pull it, like, all the way to the top, all the stuff on...
Yeah.
Everything underneath all falls out. I'm like, where are all the bobby pins? Like, what is happening?
They're probably all wigs. I feel like royalty across all, like, yeah. dynasties and kingdoms have had, like, some weird regalia.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And they probably, like, use a lot of, like, I don't know what it actually would be. Like, some sort of, like, wax or something. Like, you know, mm-hmm. they put shit yeah. in their hair to keep it down. But I'm just like, his hair is too short for that. His hair yeah. is
absolutely
too short.
Too short for a top knot right now.
Yeah.
Maybe extension.
Yeah.
Extension.
A clip in.
Again, we don't know. Because, like, we're not royals, so they have stuff to figure that out.
He has a clip in.
You heard it here first.
Lauren said we'll never be royals, and she's right.
I have seen a diamond in the flesh, but it was not mine, and I could not afford it. And I did not want it. Also, I feel like this is also making me think about, like what I was saying earlier with, like, where it's, like, Zuko, they made him, like, look more villainous, and then now they have to make him look more appealing. And I feel like there's, like, you know, what I said there is, like, not great, obviously, because it's, like, that is, like, a mm-hmm. trope of, like, making the villain, like, not attractive, or, like, the villain's always, like, kind of more, they, like, have, like, quote, uglier features, and, like, mm-hmm. with Zuko... A big part of his villainy in, like, the first season is, like, you know, there's a lot of focus on his scar and, like, disfigurement. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's hella fucked up. And then now they, like, have to make this character, like, more appealing and attractive. And it's just, like, the optics there are kind of weird. I don't know.
It's the in-between, just, like, his hair length.
Yeah. It really does come down to his hair length. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, like, a guy gets a haircut and you're just like, ew.
Yeah.
I was attracted to that person.
Time,
it's like sometimes time. you see their forehead and you're like, oh, just kidding. Like,
yeah. Oh my God, stop. That was.
I know.
I don't wanna...
Yeah.
The 2020 version of that is like what they look like without their mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like for me at work, that would happen to, like, not coworkers I was attracted to, but, like, there would be a couple guys that would have, like, these full, like, beards and mustaches, and then they would shave them, and then they would just the difference was just so stark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had one guy who he just looked like a different person, and then there was another person who, like, he already had a fairly youthful face, and then he would go from looking like 20 to like 14.
Yeah.
And he hated it, and we'd be like, you don't have to cut it.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, it's, like, summer, it gets hot or whatever. I wouldn't know, but.
Yeah. There's a scene in Schitt's Creek that is just like that, where Alexis is dating this man, and then he has a full beard, and then she wakes up, and then he was clean shaven, and she screamed because she thought it was a completely different man, and then she says, "Why didn't you talk to me about this?"
Yeah, like, actually, I think that's fair.
Is it? Maybe I'm biased. I'm like...
No, I mean, the person still has the right to do whatever they want, but I still think a conversation, like a heads up, would be appreciated.
Hmm.
Because yes. It's like, Miko used to have, like, long hair. Like, he used to have hair, like, kind of almost down to, like his pecs. And when he was gonna cut it, you know, that was, like, a huge deal. And for me, it was very much like, you can do whatever you want. I'm just going to say that I think, like, buzz cuts are awful, but, like, you do whatever you want. And then he got a buzz cut and it looked awful. And, like, you know, I was right. Never mind that I'm the one that gave him the buzz cut. That's beside the point.
I was literally just like, Jen, you're the one who fucked up his hair, though. You didn't want it that way.
Lying by omission, Jen. You left out a slight detail.
Still got the buzz cut that he wanted.
No, he wasn't. It wasn't a good look. Sokka's hair, not like whatever you did.
No, okay, well, that's a whole other thing, because that was, we had two very different definitions of what a buzz cut was. Everybody I've asked what a buzz cut is, they're like, yeah, it's like really short, like to the scalp. And, like, he was like, no, it's just, like, you just cut all the hair the same length. And I'm like, that's not a buzz cut. That's just a haircut. Anyway. The best part is I could cut this all out and still make it seem like it was his fault.
The power of editing.
That's his fault for trusting you with the clippers.
Honestly, like, yes. Like, 100%.
Oh my god.
But to be fair, the first time he cut his hair, from when it was long, he did go somewhere. And, like, they did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, I fucked it up.
It was an accident. Anyway. It's okay.
Moving on.
Thinking about when Zuko was first reading the scroll, and then he, like, threw it, and then, of course, it landed on the fucking...
on the lamp.
Oh, yeah. What if it just fell on the floor?
Yeah.
He never would have known.
These little convenient things. I just love that.
No, that's like Roku's little, like, henchman was, like, watching through the window, and they would have been like, sir, he still hasn't figured it out. Like, Iroh would be like, it's been a fucking week. What's going on? So it's like the person has to keep, like, sneaking in and, like, moving it to, like, places.
Oh my god.
I cannot. Or
they just leave a second note, and they're like, hold it up to the candle. Like,
the level gets easier as he keeps failing the mission.
It's like in Harry Potter when Cedric Diggory is like, so Harry, you need to take a bath. Like,
open the egg in the water.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
It's like the poison for Cusco. Poison
for
Cusco. Cusco the poison.
Cusco's poison.
That poison.
The poison to kill Cusco. That poison.
Yeah, he got very lucky.
Even though my instinct is always to flinch, because even though I know from watching the show before that the heat is going to activate the invisible ink, I'm always like, you just threw it on the fire! You just threw paper on the fire!
I forgot that that's what happens, and I was like, is the scroll about to burn up? And he's going to be like, wait, no, I wasn't done with that. And then, like, immediately, obviously, that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It also seemed fine. And I was like, okay, I guess this paper doesn't burn, whatever.
I mean, I guess it was on kind of like a lamp, so maybe it wasn't directly on the flame. It was like...
But paper burns even when it's not directly on the flame. If it's above a flame like that, it heats up.
Like lanterns and shit. Like, stuff's made out of paper, but they do it in real life.
Yeah, it's just like, as long as there's, yeah, like what Nicole said, as long as there's like an opening on the top, otherwise like it will catch fire.
Because it just bothered me because the paper completely covered up the top of the lantern.
Yeah.
When you do that, it catches fire.
It was for a very short period of time.
Unless there was, like, an opening underneath it. You know how, like, hot air balloon where it was, wasn't like, it's like, not on the top. It's, like...
Was it open? I don't know. I can't remember what it looked like now. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
We could look it up, but I like the fact that we're just trying to recall from our memory.
You know what?
That's more fun.
Yes, it is. You know what? It's the Fire Nation. Maybe they make things a little bit extra fire resistant.
That's fair.
You know, just like from season one with, like, the inside the metal submarine.
They could have treated the parchment with some sort of... somewhat fire resistant Not enough to completely be fireproof if someone, like, purposely wanted to burn it, but just enough. I can buy that.
Yeah, we're gonna assume all the mechanics of each nation, just like how in Omashu, the freaking high-velocity shoots.
Yes!
With the they figured it out,
you know? Because this Fire is a nation, world they where they don't just forget about the fact that this is an entire world built around bending. They actually,
right.
like, design everything with that in mind. Evolution. This isn't...
Yes.
You know, what's that one that you're all pissed about? Onward. This is more like Zootopia.
Oh my god. I still haven't seen it. I don't care.
Who had feelings about it? Miko did?
Miko has very strong feelings. Yeah. Moving on.
Moving on. Is there anything else that anybody wanted to talk about with this episode? No. I guess I just saw in my notes. I liked that in the spirit world, Aang was like bald and had his airbender clothes on. Because it was like true Aang.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. But besides that, I think we got everything. So does anybody have like an MVP for this episode? Because I don't.
Like, I picked Roku.
I wrote down not applicable, everyone sucks, because I got so mad at stuff. Although if I have to choose, I'll say Toph just because of that very last line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that was I went with Fang because I was like, that has to suck for like the spirit partner pet like guide. Mm-hmm. To be like, my dumb human, I will die with you.
I almost picked Roku, but then I was like, but he didn't kill Sozin, like, I can't
I'm
give
not
it to
rewarding
him.
Roku for the generational trauma he inflicted onto Aang.
But I feel like if I had to pick someone, I probably wouldn't end up picking him just by, like, default. Yeah, though I agree with, yeah, if you had to pick a human, Fang's a good boy. How about, like, favorite moments or lines?
I mean, that whole, again, what Nicole, like, the end.
Yeah, my favorite moment was definitely the soulmate friends.
Yeah.
But Roku said that line.
Yeah.
I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
I will not give Toph that credit, because Roku did say
it. Yeah, Roku said the line, and then Toph was just like, do you think that's true? And then he was like, yeah.
Yeah, and then Sokka was like, well.
I don't mind the line so much. I liked Toph being vulnerable about it, and being like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And everybody holding hands.
And then, like, holding hands.
Her expression was just, like, so cute and nice.
Yeah.
I liked when Roku said that line. Because I value friendships a little bit more now than I did, I don't know, 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
I felt like, oh, it's whatever. But now it's like, no. Mm. This is actually really important.
These relationships mean something.
Yes.
I feel like it's just easier to make friends when you're younger, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm realizing now, too, I'm like, they didn't have friends before each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, Aang did.
Aang did, yeah.
Sokka and Katara had each other. Really, I don't think. They had each other, but they're siblings, it doesn't count. But, like, Toph definitely did not.
Yeah.
Right? She had, like, a friendly rivalry with the boulder or something, but she didn't actually, like, he didn't know anything about her, so it doesn't count. And then now this is, like, family.
Yeah, these are, like, his peers and his equals and, like, his family. And, like, there's no, like, adult supervision. Which, like, that sounded bad as soon as I said it. But I'm like, you know what I, like, mean? I don't mean it, like, weird.
We do.
Yeah.
It's better without adults. Adults F everything up.
Adults suck. Mm-hmm.
We're acting like we're not adults.
That's a joke, Abby.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Hey, my statement stands.
Yeah, we're old now. God,
adults F everything up, including me. Especially me. I'm the worst.
I feel like I'm neither here nor there. I'm not a child and I'm not an adult.
Yeah, I feel like that.
I still say stuff like, oh, well, I need like an adult to help with this. Like,
it's true. I still think of myself as a child all the time.
I feel like I try to do that, like, unintentionally, like, teaching college students, where I'm like, I am literally like 10 years older than like the oldest ones there, who are, you know, 21, 22. You know, sometimes there's grad students, and obviously there's people that like take college older, but like the classes I've had, and like sometimes I'm like very conscious of the fact that I'm that much older than them, and I'm almost like, oh, I need them to understand that like life doesn't end at 30, because I feel like that like gap feels so much wider when you're at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just want to be like, nothing, like, it doesn't mean anything, kind of thing.
It truly doesn't.
No.
It's so right.
You really always think like, I'm gonna hit a certain age and then I'm just gonna like have it together,
yeah,
and know what's going on, and then that doesn't ever happen. You just like are constantly faking it. You're Like, you figure more things out, but then there's, like, all this other stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. You figure one thing out, but that opens up, like, 10 other things, and you're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Gross. So, okay.
Was honor said?
Oh, no, yeah, I didn't think of that.
I don't think it was.
And Zuko, like, emotionally died, but he did not, unfortunately, almost physically die.
Yeah, there was no near-death experiences. I mean, he almost set that letter on fire, and then that could have caused a problem, but, I mean...
That's true!
He's a firebender, so he probably could have just put that right out. Oh, man. But he's dumb, so, like, who knows? Anyway, alright, I guess that's it. This has been Pod Sing Say, an Avatar The Last Airbender podcast. Join us next week when we discuss Book 3, Chapter 7, The Runaway. If you haven't already, please leave a rating and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform. Thank you for listening.